good. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, I'm beginning in verse 10 as we get ready to pray. Luke 13, 10 down to verse 17. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.' And he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, 'There are 6 days in which men ought to come and work. Therefore, come and be healed on one of them, and not on the Sabbath.' Then the Lord answered and said to him, 'Hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall to lead it away and water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years be loosed from his bond on the Sabbath?' Then when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for your presence. We thank you for a new year. We thank you for a fresh season. We thank you for a pouring out of your spirit. We anticipate you, Lord God. We come believing together as brothers and sisters in Christ, believing that you are going to do great things, that your kingdom will come, that your will be done, that you will manifest your glory, that you will express, Lord God, the full release of your spirit and presence on our lives with signs and with wonders following, Lord God, as your word is being proclaimed. I pray for clarity this morning. I pray for unction by the Holy Spirit today, that you would speak, that you would clarify, that you would set the captives free. Help us to hear your voice as you speak to us. Speak to us uniquely and individually. Tailor make this for us today, because each of us came with a specific need to hear from you. We don't need to hear from people, but we need to hear from you. Speak to us as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jesus here is on a journey. He is on his way to Jerusalem. He is about 6 months away from the cross, about 6 months away from going to Calvary. And he's showing us in this journey here, in this passage of Luke, what it means to be a follower of Jesus and what it means to be a disciple. And we are joining them in this process. The disciples don't yet realize or know what's going on, but something is changing in their hearts as they're spending time with the Lord. And sometimes we don't always realize that our lives are changing. There's something that's happening on the inside of us as we are spending time with the Lord or listening to the Word of God. They'll realize it later. But it's impossible to spend time with Jesus and remain the same. If I have spent time with the Lord and I have left the room, if I have left the facility the same way that I have entered, I have not spent time with the Lord. It is impossible. When you enter into his presence, or when he enters into your presence, thanks, James, when he enters into your presence, something amazing happens. Something miraculous happens. Simon is turned into Peter. The coward is turned into a person of faith. Those that are weak find their strength. Those that are sick find healing. Those that are cowardly find the courage to do and stand up and declare and take hold of what God has promised to them. Are you tracking with me this morning? All right, we're going to start getting into the message here, what was going on in this particular story. Jesus is teaching here in one of the synagogues on his way to Jerusalem. And you'll normally find him teaching. It says he's teaching and preaching and doing miracles. Normally he will begin with the teaching process, because teaching is what we need. We need to understand the foundations and the fundamentals of our faith. I don't know what he was saying, because it doesn't tell us, but I can guess and venture to say that he's probably talking about the kingdom of God. And he's talking about how God is a good God and how humanity needs to enter into the presence of God and how man can reconnect with God once again. He's laying the foundation here. This is the foundation that we build our life upon, one book at a time. And that's why we're going through it. We went through Matthew, took a couple of years. We went through Mark, a couple of years. And here we are in our second year in Luke, because we want to grasp the fullness of what Jesus is saying to us, because we also are disciples like they are here, taking in the truth. And in John 17, Verse 3, in his high priestly prayer, Jesus said this. He says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." We want to know eternal life. We want to know what it means to live in the kingdom. And he says, this is eternal life. If you want to be saved, this is it. For them to know you, I want them, my disciples, my followers, to know who you are. And they need to know who I am as well. So, while teaching and many around him, Jesus is aware of this woman who had a spirit of infirmity for how many years? 18 years she's had a spirit of infirmity. And our Lord is aware of her, and he's aware of every situation because nothing goes unnoticed with the Lord. This was not just a physical problem. This was something where she was bound by Satan for quite some time. Imagine being ill. Imagine being sick, not for 18 days, not for 18 weeks or 18 months, but imagine being sick for 18 years in this condition. Now, not every physical problem or sickness is from the devil. We need to declare that. Not every single physical problem that we face as humans is from the devil, but this one was, because some are. Sometimes when we face affliction, sometimes when we face physical issues in our life, it's the devil that has come and done something to us, and may God give us the discernment to know what is natural versus what is spiritual. And may God give us the insight to know that and to pray accordingly and to pray properly. Sometimes Jesus would simply heal someone. Other times he would rebuke the devil and bring about the healing. But all sickness and disease are due to sin. All sickness and disease are due to sin. God is not the one who brings sickness and disease. Some people say the Lord has brought this into my life as a way of this or a way of... No, no. God never brings sickness or disease into our lives. The agent that brings the sickness and disease is the devil himself. Y'all just staring at me. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden due to their rebellion, disease and death entered into the world. So it's the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. He's the agent then that brings death and sickness and disease into people's lives. We don't know why this particular woman is afflicted. It doesn't tell us why she was attacked this way, and it's not for us to speculate. Even though I began to ponder, Lord, show me why was she afflicted? She's a believer. She's obviously a daughter of Abraham, which means she's a woman of faith. Why was the devil allowed to afflict her? And the answer I got was, it's none of your business. It doesn't tell you. Don't speculate. Instead, I believe the story is here to help us reflect on our own lives and teach us something about our own lives as we venture through and walk with God, placing ourselves in the very story itself, in the place of this woman, because if you're going to read the Bible, I've shared this before, but I think it bears repeating. If you're going to read the Bible, especially as we read the stories, it's good to put myself in the story. I now become this person who's been afflicted for 18 years. And I'm hearing the crowds around me. And I'm hearing the master teach. And I'm hearing him say, drop everything and come. And you place yourself in the actual story, and that's how we learn. That's how we grasp. In this case here, we see that she is bowed down. And in this particular time, we want to take a look and see if we are bowed down. Oh, not physically, necessarily, but are we bowed down in a spirit? Are we bowed down on the inside? Are we walking upright or are we hunched over on the inside? And those that are hunched over on the inside cannot see Jesus clearly because they're bent over. They can't see God or people clearly, and their condition forces them to only see the ground because they're walking like this and they're hunched over and they try. It says she tried to make herself straight, but she in no wise was able to make herself straight. So she is walking like this. And she has been walking like this, unable to see clearly or see straight or bend herself. She's been walking like this for 18 years. Can you imagine the affliction? Can you imagine the stigma? Can you imagine the problem that she is facing? Sometimes we are bent over like this and we can't see. We can't see clearly. All we see is the ground. You encourage people to look up and to look at God, but they're unable to. And sometimes you approach people and you say, why is your relationship with God like that? Why are you bowed down like that? Why is your soul cast down like that? As David said in Psalm 42, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you doubled over within me? Why are you hunched over within me? Why are you cast down? And they say, I don't know. But there's a hunching over that's happening in my life, and I can't see God straight, and I can't see people straight. If that's you this morning, or you know someone along those lines this morning, pray in your heart that God would minister from this word to you and to me. Because he wants to set us free. We didn't come to hear a message. We didn't come to be tickled in our ears and to say hello and grab some goodies and leave. We came here to meet with the Lord. Somebody say amen. All right. A couple things to know that causes people or may cause people to be hunched over is sin will cause us to be hunched over. Sin will cause us to be hunched over. This lady had this condition, and she's a picture of humanity that is hunched over. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's why Jesus came. He did come to pay for all of our sins, but he did more than that. Because part of the salvation is to restore us properly. And that's why it says in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, surely our griefs he bore himself, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He's saying all of this affliction that humanity is carrying, I am taking it on myself. All of this pain that the enemy has attacked you with, I am carrying it myself so that you can be free, because I am going to exchange my perfect life for your imperfect life. That was the whole process of Jesus. But even as believers, when we allow sin to have its place, it will bow us down. As believers. You know, Samson in the Bible was a believer. Samson was called by God. He was anointed by God. Before he was in his mother's womb, the angel of the Lord came and spoke to Manoah and his wife and said, you will have a son. He will be a Nazarite, meaning separated from the womb. And he is going to deliver Israel from the Philistines, deliver Israel from those that are oppressing them. I'm calling him. He should not shave his head because the secret of his strength, I'm going to give him great strength, the secret of his strength will be in his long hair. If he cuts his hair, he will lose his strength. Bible says he goes and he mingles with the Philistines, and there he falls in love with a Philistine woman, and he marries her. That doesn't go very well. He's no longer married to her. It's a long story. I don't have time to explain it all. But then later it says he saw another woman. This woman was a prostitute. She was a harlot. And the Bible says he went into her, and he would lay in her lap. Samson, what are you doing? Having some fun. Mom and dad are not around. My church friends are not around right now. I'm just kind of having a good time. Samson, you're a Nazarite. Samson, you know better than this. You know that God has called you to do great things. Why are you messing with sin? Why are you doing what you shouldn't do? Why are you going where you shouldn't go? Why are you playing with that which you shouldn't play with? She begins to ask him. She says, tell me the secret of your strength. Tell me, where does all this strength that you have, where does it? Because the Bible says he picked up the jawbone of a donkey once. One jawbone of one donkey and killed 1,000 Philistines by himself. This guy was so strong, he would tie his hair to the gates of the city and carry it all the way up to the mountain. This guy was amazing. God used him in amazing ways, but there he is lying in the lap of a prostitute. Samson, what are you doing? And she says to him, Samson, tell me the secret of your strength. He says, oh, if they twirl my hair together with this, or if they bind them with fresh cords, then I will be like any other man. So she does what he says, and she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And so he gets up and he shakes himself and he breaks it open. He gains the victory. She says, you're lying to me. Tell me the secret of your strength. He says, oh, it's just this. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he gets up and he shakes himself. And then finally she said, how can you say you love me when your heart is not with me? You have been lying to me. Tell me the secret of your strength. He says, if they shave the 7 locks off of my head, I will be like any other man. And she lulled him to sleep on her lap, the man of God in the lap of a harlot, a prostitute. It says she shaved his head. And she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And it says in verse 16, it says, and he came to break the chains as before, but he did not know that the Spirit of the Lord had left him. One of the saddest verses in the Bible. You can only toy with sin so far before not only does it bind you, it is going to destroy you. Because what happens is they grab Samson. He was unable to shake himself. The Spirit of God, the anointing was gone. It was no longer there. It says, and they gouged out his eyes. Now watch Samson. It says, and they tied him like an ox to plow the fields for the Philistines. So here he is, unable to see. He's bound, and he is pushing the plow like an ox. Where's his face? To the ground. Can he see? He's hunched over, just like this woman. What was the cause? The sin in his life. David put it this way. He says, my sin is too great for me. My soul is bowed over. My sin has been too great for me. I am now bowed over. I cannot lift my face anymore. I can't see you anymore. I can't experience you anymore. I am bowed over on the inside. But I know you're faithful. I know you are faithful. Perhaps you're sensing some of the sorrow of some of the choices that you've made. As David said, my soul is cast down. It is bowed down within me. Listen, if you're doubled over and all you can do is see the ground, ask God to show you if there's something that you need to confess in your life because you've been toying with things that you know you shouldn't be toying with that will cause your soul to be bowed over. If you're walking in rebellion towards something, the second thing that can, it's not just sin, but also ceremony. Ceremony can cause you to be bowed over. Because here the leader of the synagogue honored the religious ceremony more than God. He honored the ceremony of the Sabbath more than he honored God. Oh, he did the right thing by allowing Jesus to use his pulpit that Saturday. They didn't worship on Sundays. They worshiped on Saturdays. He gave Jesus, as the traveling rabbi, he gave him the ability. He says, come, you are the guest minister. Come and preach the word. So Jesus is there teaching. So he does the right thing there. But listen, his true colors are revealed when Jesus healed this woman on the Sabbath. This man is haughty. This man is arrogant. Because there he wants to teach people and say, there are 6 days. And he's really talking to Jesus, but he's addressing the crowd. But he's really, have you ever had somebody trying to tell you something, but they're talking to somebody else? He's really talking to Jesus, but he's addressing the crowd saying, there are 6 days for you to come and be healed. If you want to be healed on one of those days, come be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. Jesus says, you are a hypocrite. You are a hypocrite. And it turns out that this ruler of the synagogue was in more bondage than the actual woman who was in the synagogue. And Jesus wants to set him free as well. But listen, a person who doesn't realize that they're in bondage will never be free. I'm convinced people will come to church week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, and walk out completely chained up because they don't realize that they are in bondage. Are you free? Are you able to worship God? In the privacy of your own home, are you able to lift up your hands to God and say, God, I thank you. I don't fully understand what's going on. As a matter of fact, I hardly understand what's going on, but I worship you. Are you able to do that? When you're by yourself, when no one is looking, do you choose to do the right thing or do you run back to the secret things? Again, where are you? Are you in bondage or are you free? And he's saying, I want you to be absolutely free. And a bit of humility would help. Like when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and he says, we know that you are from God because no one can do the works that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus ministered and spoke life to Nicodemus. How do you know? How do we know if we're in religious bondage? Listen, when we elevate our religious traditions above everything else, this is not how we do it. This is not how we do it, we would say. We don't pray this way. We don't worship this way. We don't serve this way. We don't give this way. We don't do things this way. That's when you know that you're religious. Because there's various ways to express our worship to God. You walk into any other service and they'll do things a little bit differently. But you know what? As long as they're honoring God, they're doing well. And when ceremony takes place, a higher order than people's well-being, we know that we are not in a good place, that we are doubled over in religiousness and ceremony. This man didn't care about the 18 years of pain. He cared about the Sabbath. The Sabbath was more important. Long live the Sabbath. May this woman die and perish and go to hell, but long live the Sabbath. May our meetings be more important than people's needs. That's when we know something is out of order. It's not right. So Jesus says, don't you loose your ox or your donkey to water it on the Sabbath? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed on the Sabbath? So the story of Jesus healing this woman has much to teach us. Listen, notice that the woman never responded to the criticism. This man is criticizing. What just happened? Does she respond? Does she say anything? Jesus is the one who began with her, and he will finish it. The Bible says that God fights our battles for us. Be still and stay silent, because it is the fight belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. He will answer. When the enemy comes to bring controversy into your mind or about how maybe you don't deserve a touch from God in your life, let Jesus answer that question. Even when we know that we have sinned, let Jesus answer and say something maybe like this from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, the Bible says. Says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Listen, though my sins are like crimson or like scarlet, crimson and scarlet don't come out very easily. And in many cases, they don't come out at all. This dark, deep red color that stains a garment. He's saying, even if your sin has been that grievous, even if your sins have been that wicked, they shall be white as snow or white as wool. And regardless of why she's afflicted, I have a lot of respect for this woman, because she is so faithful despite the obstacles. She is so faithful. 18 years she's been going to the synagogue and worshiping. And I'm guessing she probably called on God for healing more than once in those 18 years. When you factor 18 years going to the Sabbath, going to the synagogue every week, it's probably 1,000 trips. It's about 1,000 trips to church. Imagine attending 1,000 services to church. And you come in with a problem and you leave with the same problem. Imagine. For some people to say the Bible doesn't relate to us today, they really haven't read the Bible. To say my problems are different problems. Everybody else has their problems and God can deal with them, but me, I have a unique situation. My situation is a little more complicated than that. Really? Really? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Is anything that you're facing spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, relationally, is there anything that you are facing that is too difficult for God? What is it, a wayward child? Is that too difficult for God? Somebody's hooked on drugs? Is that difficult for God? Somebody's racked with pain in their body? Is that too difficult for God? Jesus walked by the woman and he touched the coffin. He said, young man, I say to you, get up out of your coffin. He had no choice. If the master spoke it, he had to. He was dead. He was cold. He was on his way to be buried. If Jesus has spoken a word, it will come to pass. Somebody say amen in this Baptist church. All right. The strange thing was, in her case, it seemed like God wasn't listening. And I have a question for you. Does God's silence mean that he doesn't care? Sometimes it feels that way. Sometimes when in the privacy of my own thoughts, when no one's around, and I pray a prayer or multiple prayers, and they don't seem to be answered by God, I wonder and I begin to question, and the little voice goes off. Does God really care? Does he realize? Does he understand the pain? Does he understand the affliction? Does he know what you're going through right now? Doesn't he see how much this is hurting you right now? Someone may say, I've been going to church now for a couple of years, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years, and I'm still bound. And it doesn't seem like I'll ever find help for my situation. I'm just so discouraged. Listen. The times that we feel most discouraged are the times that we need to be in God's presence the most. The times that we are most discouraged are the times that we need to be in the presence of the Lord the most. People say sometimes to me, I don't feel like going to church. So your feelings are leading your life. Good luck. Good luck in life. because your feelings will always mislead you. Always. Your feelings are a gift from God, but your feelings are designed to follow your choices. To be the boost, the energy, the source of help as you make the right choices. Your feelings are a gift from God, but I'm not to be led by my feelings. I just don't feel like praying. I just don't feel like going to church. I just don't feel like this. I don't feel like that. Stop with the nonsense. Pick yourself up and say, I'm going to choose to do the right thing, and I'm going to continue, as this woman continued to press in and say, I have not had an answer in over 1,000 times, but I'm going to go 1,001. And if I don't get my answer in 1,000, I'm going to go 1,002 until it becomes 2,000 or becomes 3,000. Why? Because God is still faithful. My situation hasn't changed, but God is still faithful. But you don't understand what's going on, and there is stigma on your life, and people are not approaching you, and people are walking away from you, and you've got all kinds of issues, but you know what? God is still faithful. Can we say that God is still faithful? My Redeemer lives, and though he slay me, yet will I continue to worship him because I know and I trust in my God. The times I'm most discouraged, I need to be in the presence of the Lord the most, because that's when the enemy opens up the door of attack on my life and your life, and he is able to come in and do some chaos there. So there is encouragement in the story to continue to press into God regardless of what you see. Some people only want things from the Lord, though. They come to church because they want something from God. I came to church because I need something. I need some protection. I need some provision. I need a blessing. I need some guidance. I need this or I need that. This lady didn't need any of that. She said, I need God. Because I believe what he said. If you seek first his kingdom, if you seek first his presence, if you seek first fellowship with him, all these other things will be added unto you. Let's stop looking at the hands of God and the gifts that he gives to us, the provision and the mercy and the peace. Let's stop asking him for these things, because all these things will come as we seek his face. There is no way that our good heavenly Father, if we are seeking him with all of our might, with all of our power, with all of our strength, will not freely give us all of these things to boot, because that's the kind of God that he is. He doesn't hold back from us. He's saying, I want to lavish upon you. But I want you to seek me, because you want me. You don't want from me. You want me. I wonder how many, please don't raise your hands. Not like you would anyway. But I wonder how many are seeking God and saying, God, I want you. I don't just want from you. I want you. And whatever you decide to do, when you decide to do it, I'm going to choose to trust in you. If my situation changes today, and I'm believing God, I'm prophesying right now. I'm believing God for some people that are going to leave this place completely changed. Healed, delivered, and set free. Chains falling off of your lives today. But if that doesn't happen for all of us, listen, we need to continue to trust him and say, I am choosing to trust in you because you are good. Even though I don't understand, you are still good. I choose to worship you because you're worthy and all wisdom belongs to you. And you know what? The number of years on this earth doesn't compare to eternity. If you live to be 100 plus, may God give you long life, all of you. That 100 plus years is nothing in comparison to eternity. You put all of our eggs in this basket here. And he's saying you need to invest into the future. You need to invest into your eternal life. And so Jesus calls her to himself. Here's where we begin our message this morning. Are you ready? Jesus calls her to himself. He didn't have to call her, you know. He could have just spoken a word. But he called her to himself. It's been so long since someone has given her specific attention. He could have, from a distance, from across the room, you know, the men were on one side in the setting and the women were on a different side. And he could have, from where he was standing, said, okay, be healed. Yalla, done. Be healed. And she would have straightened up. She would have went home praising God. But it says he called her to himself. It's been so long since someone has said, come here to her. Because of the stigma in that culture at that time, when someone is sick, they thought that God was angry with you and is punishing you with a disease. So I don't want to associate with you. I don't want to come near you. I'm not gonna hang out with you. I'm not gonna call you to me. You're gonna live pretty much an isolated life. So Jesus says, come. You don't even know that you need this, but I'm telling you what you really need. I see that you need a healing, but before I heal your body, I want to do something a little bit deeper. I want to heal your soul. I want to heal your mind. I want to heal your heart. I want to bring you into a totality and let you know that you are accepted by God. I am accepting you. These have all rejected you. The leader of the synagogue has rejected you. He's preferring his ox or his donkey above you, but I am preferring you. I am putting you first. And he's changing. He's changing all that by giving her the attention that she needs and refuting the idea that God is judging with a disease. Listen, now she has to continue to push through her pain because she's on one side of the room and Jesus on a different side of the room, and he says, come here. Imagine with me, picture this with me. This is what I'm talking about, by putting yourself in the story. She's doubled over. She can't really see. People are not going to help her because they're not going to associate with her. As soon as she walks into a room, they all kind of like back away and give her space. No one's going to hold her by the hand and lead her to Jesus. Something's wrong here. So she has to press through. And she has to walk and press through her pain to get to him. Some of us have to press through our pain to find him. I don't know if I'm communicating to you or not. Some of us have to press through our obstacles to find him. It's not an instantaneous 1 second type of thing where it's the pow and it's done. No. She had to walk. She had to do this short trip to where he was, and she is in pain, and she has to press through all of that pain and all of that agony and all of that stigma as all eyes are now on her, and she's saying, I wonder if this is going to work. I don't even know. I didn't begin this, but he's calling me. For other people, it may be easy, but I'm in pain. And although it's painful, I know Jesus is the only answer. Although sometimes you look at other people and you say, they pray, and it seems like they pray so eloquently and they pray so freely and they just have this relationship with God and they're always like on cloud nine and things just always seem to be going so well. Don't be deceived. How many times do we have to push through our pain to come into the presence of God? It's not easy to stand here and lift your hand all the time. Or to come and to pray all the time. You got to push through some things. And say, come hell or high water, I need to find him. The question is, how bad do you want him? How bad do you want the presence of the Lord in your life? In the inconvenience. In the stigma. In the pain. In being alienated. As you begin to lose friends, the closer you draw to the Lord, you realize you have fewer and fewer friends. You realize you can't associate with everyone the way that you used to before. Fewer understand your heart. Fewer understand your thoughts. And you realize you can't. You can't just share life with everyone as you've done before. You may be a bubbly person with an outgoing personality, but now you're pressing through to the Lord, and you find that it's getting fewer and fewer around you. But you learn, Lord, I want you more than I want them. As Jesus asked Peter, he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than those that are around? Do you love me? He didn't say, will you serve me? He didn't say, will you preach for me? He didn't say, will you go start churches for me? Or will you be a missionary for me? Or will you even get martyred for me? He says, Peter, do you love me? I want you to spend time with me. Although it's painful, Jesus is my only answer. Listen, turning to drugs is not the answer. It just creates more of a problem. Turning to alcohol creates more of a problem. Promiscuity. Hope you know what that word means. Becomes more of a problem. Adultery and fornication creates more of a problem. Pornography becomes more of a problem. Why are you saying these church, Pastor? We're in church. Because it's in the church. These problems affect the people in the church. But we come in with these masks on our faces saying, this doesn't affect me. No, it does affect you. At the very least, you're tempted by it. It's certainly not going to be an isolation, me keeping myself isolated. And it's not going to be in any self-help book or tape or CD. You're not going to find it in any of these. Our help is from the Lord. David put it this way. He says, I lift my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from you and only from you. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my friends. I thank you for what you've given me. But my help comes from you. My eyes are not on them. My eyes are upon you. Because they can be gone in a second. How many of us have people drop off the face of this earth just like that? People can be gone in a second. But God and His Word abide forever. Otherwise, I'll be grinding at the mill like Samson, with a call on my life, but working like an ox. With a call to do great things, but serving as a slave. May God set every slave here free today to know that you don't have to serve like that anymore. And even if you have been blinded, Jesus knows how to put fresh pair of eyes into your head. And the Bible says, and his hair began to grow back. Oh, this is good news. His hair began to grow back. Nothing is permanent. The mistakes that you've made are not permanent. The mistakes that you've made are not final. His hair began to grow back and his strength began to come back to him, and he realized, and he says, oh Lord God, bless me this one more time. And he had a little boy lead him to the pillars of where the Philistines were. And he says, he put one hand on one pillar and the other hand on the other pillar. And he says, oh God, let me kill more in my death than I have in my life. And he pushed with all of his strength and the entire building came collapsing down and more people died at that moment than he was able to kill during all of his life. Listen, the best is yet ahead of you. The best is yet to come. God has some amazing things moving forward. And no matter, even if you have been laying in the lap of a harlot, even if you have been involved in things that you shouldn't be involved in, God says, I am the God who restores you. I am the God who brings things back. I am the God who is more than enough, and I am able, and I am desiring. I just need somebody to believe me and to stand up and to raise their hands and say, God, I trust you. God, I believe you. I don't understand. I don't claim to understand. But today, I am choosing to trust in you because you are God. You are good. You are faithful. You are kind. You are merciful. And you are compassionate. And what you've done for them, you will do for me because you are no respecter of persons. Somebody say amen. I'm choosing to push through my pain so I can get to Jesus. But when Jesus saw her, he said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Yeah, Yeshua. And he laid his hand on her. And immediately she was made straight and she glorified God. Listen, regardless of whose fault this is, Jesus steps in and says, listen, I am making a declaration. What the enemy has done, I am now stepping in. Have you ever had an older brother or an older sister help you at school when they step in, when there's been a bully, and says, this is my little brother. This is my little sister. You push them around long enough. This is Jesus getting here and saying, they belong to me. The fight is now officially over. There is no more battle. They belong. They are now hiding behind me. And if you want to get to them, you got to get through me. I know that's not proper English, but if you want to get to them, you got to go through me. And he steps in. And he touches her. How long has it been since she has been touched? You call her, and now you're laying your hand because you want to touch her. It's been a while. Like the leper who hasn't been touched, and he says, Jesus, can you heal me? And Jesus reached out his hand, and he touched him first. He says, how long has it been, my son, since you've been touched by human hands? How long has it been since you've been touched by love? I want to bring a healing to your heart. I'm going to heal your body. I'm going to heal your body, but I want to heal your heart too. And I want to heal your heart first. I want to bring restoration there first. Are we willing to believe him for it? You are loosed from your infirmity. It's been long enough. I came to set the captive free. I came to restore you. Listen, the devil has done his very best, but Christ's power reigns. He rules. He is supreme. He sits on the throne. Nothing is too difficult for God. And in Psalm 107, verse 20, it says, and he sent his word, and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent his word, and he healed them. God is sending his word to you today through a bald preacher. He's sending his word to you today, and he sent his word, and he healed them. Because there's no magic formula in the word, but there's power in God. And if we choose to put our faith in him, that same power that did what he did for her can do for you today if you need him to touch you in your heart, in your body, in your soul, or in your mind. God wants to do it for you. You don't need to wait one more day. Listen, make your declaration in this new year. Some people make a declaration saying, I hope to make more money this year. I hope my body cooperates better this year, doesn't have as much pain. Or I hope to have more business this year. Or I hope to have this or this or that. These are all temporary material things. You're aiming too low. What should we aim for in this new year? For Jesus to step in between me and my problem and say, enough is enough. I have the right as a child of God to sit at his table and to eat from his hand because he wants to break bread with me. We're going to break bread here in a minute. But he wants to break bread with me. He doesn't want me separated from his love anymore. And as Paul says, who will separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Shall persecution, shall distress, shall angels or demons or principalities? Nothing will separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. Our goal should be, God, I want to live in your love. In 2017, my goal, your goal should be, I want to live in your love. You do with me whatever you desire to do, but I want to live in your love. I want to live in your presence. Enough is enough. Today we can begin on that journey. And how do you know you've been set free? It says, and immediately she began to glorify God. How do you and I know that we have been set free? Especially here in church, we have to be so proper, so quiet, so still. How do we know that we've been set free by the Lord? Immediately she got up and she glorified God. When I can begin to praise him freely. Oh, I don't mean fake it, because we can fake it. If I tell you to stand up right now and raise your hands, all of you can do it. But it doesn't mean it's genuine or real. But when I have been touched by God, the proof that I've been touched by God is that I can express myself to him and say, I praise you. I worship you, and I worship you in freedom because you have set me free. Though there are things I don't yet understand and problems still ahead of me, but you are greater than my problems, and what you've carried me through, you will continue to carry me through, and there is no mountain too great for you. There is no obstacle too big for you. If you can move mountains, if you can cause the walls of Jericho to come down, if you can part the Red Sea for people to walk onto dry land, if you can bring water from a rock in the wilderness, if you can bring manna from heaven to feed millions of people for 40 years, there is nothing too difficult for you. You are more than able, and so I choose to put my trust in you, not in myself, not in my circumstances. Allow me to read to you just a couple of verses. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Matthew 8:2. And behold, a leper came worship him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Finally, Matthew 8:16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick. Are we worshiping the same Jesus? Are we putting our faith in the same one that it's spoken about here? If he did it for them, can he not do it for us? There's no demon in hell that Jesus cannot conquer. There's no sickness that we face that Jesus is not yet stronger still. There's no obstacle in life that he cannot conquer in our lives. Listen, this same Jesus says to all who are bowed down, you are loosed from your infirmity today. Today. He's calling you to himself. He's calling you to himself and he's saying, I want to touch you. And I'm declaring to you, you are loosed today from your infirmity. I wonder how many else were in the synagogue that day who left without being touched, who left afflicted, who left in pain, who left discouraged, who left with their sin, who left with their ceremony, who left distant from God. I wonder how many were there when it's a crying shame because the Lord of the universe was there saying, I say to you, you are loosed from your infirmity. Today you can be loosed from your every infirmity. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, God is saying, I came to to set you free. My desire is that you be free. Isn't that the heart of every good parent? When they see their child being sick or afflicted, and they're saying, let me take my pain. Let me take your pain. I'd rather be sick instead of you. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, I'll take it. And some have even prayed that prayer. God, give me their sickness and take it away from them, if possible. God is a good God, and he's saying, I want to set you free. If you're hurting in your mind, if you're hurting in your body, if you're hurting in your soul, I want to set you free today. By the declaration of the word of God, he's saying, you are loosed from your infirmity. In Jesus' name. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend a minute in prayer. Then I'm going to invite you to come up and partake of the communion. When we're done with that, we're going to call Raymond up and whoever else wants to come join and pray. Anyone else who's suffering with something, we're going to pray for you today. We're going to believe God that the same Jesus who did this for this woman is the same God who wants to do something amazing in your life today. Because that's the kind of God that we serve. But before we take communion, before you come up, that is, make sure that you're not harboring sin in your life. Make sure that you're not holding on to sin in your life, because if you do, then you are coming to eat and drink judgment upon yourself. 1 Corinthians tells us. Confess your sins now before the Lord. Whatever it is that you're involved in, confess it before God. If you're doing something that you know that God is displeased with, confess it now before God. And if you do so, please come and partake, because this is the remembrance of his body and blood. He's saying, this is why I came. I came to pay for every sin that you've committed. I came to take away all of your shame and guilt. But if you want to hold on to your sin, please do not come up. Because if you do, you'll be eating and drinking judgment upon yourself. Let's pray together. Lord, we delight ourselves in you today. We rejoice in your goodness, Lord God. We rejoice in your mercy, Lord God. You are faithful to us. Even though we have not been faithful to you, you remain faithful to us. And your word says that if we confess our sins, and I confess to you, Lord God, I have sinned. I have sinned before you. If we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because you are good and you are holy and you welcome us into your presence. You welcome the broken into your presence. You welcome the hurting into your presence. You welcome those that are bowed down into your presence, and you want to touch us, Lord God. As we come and partake of this today, would you touch us by your Spirit and your